Well, listen, we all know what we're here for. We really want you to have a great time. We're here to commemorate a revolution that started the movement and was one of the milestones in Black Pride. Some folks may find it a little strange that we laugh, we sing, and we joke. But we're doing our thing the Black way to commemorate.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
I have a message. Save your generation.
You are now listening to Save Your Generation on the Real Radio Network.
Economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
If you can't do for yourself what the white man is doing for himself, don't say you're equal with the white man.
Right.
If you can't set up a factory like he sets up a factory, don't talk that old equality talk.
Thanks for being with us tonight on this edition of Save Your Generation on RevereRadio.net. We have another good one for you tonight, hopefully something to make you think. As you know, this is the second installment of the Black History Month show series that I have in store. Last week was the first one. Last week was also what I think was my worst show to date, only because in retrospect, you know, thinking about the plan, it's kind of like the plan to build a wall. It's not an actual feasible plan. And while it may have worked with slavery, you know, the people integrating into a system, it only somewhat worked, as we're going to find out tonight. But I think that trying to deport all of them, trying to build a wall, it's not a real plan. It's not going to ever happen, and it's not cost efficient, number one, and it's just not effective. It's not going to be the Great Wall of China, or it's not going to be a mass deportation, or the only other option left is going to be concentration camps. And if we start going into gun wars and battles with them, that's what they're going to do. They're going to impose martial law because they're going to say there's no other way to stop this gun battle happening between the Mexicans and the people in the South and everywhere else. So, I don't know. There really needs to be something done, but there's not going to be anything done. And when something does happen, we'll be the last to know. So, all right. So tonight, we can only go forward. We're only going to get better tonight. But last week, I think that I didn't present my ideas well. It sounded all good in my head. And I took to, you know, they say over-preparation can sometimes be a bad thing. I think that's what happened last week. You can make an outline of your show, but when you start having, you know, I was up into 6 pages of stuff, and then, you know, you try to reference everything, but you should just kind of just flow off top and just have a slight idea of what you're going to do. So that's what we're doing tonight again. Back to the old routine. So I'm just going to talk about Black history. Last week we talked about slavery. I see you've got some attention over in the reveredradio.net message board, which is good. I'm glad I'm giving you all something to think about. I hope the shows every week leave you thinking about it. Even after it's over, you're still thinking, like, what was that person talking about? So, good. Tonight, again, you're going to be thinking even harder, thinking outside of the box. I have to bring you some stuff that I think you're not going to hear, and, you know, I've never heard some of this stuff that I'm going to bring up, but that's not to say that it's original or I haven't something that I've thought of my on my own. It is something I've thought of on my own, but I'm sure someone else has had to see this. Someone else has had to put two and two together and notice this as well. So we're going to talk about things, I guess, a little continuation of the slavery talk. Since people were talking about that on the Revere board, I wanted to respond, but I just haven't had the time this week. I've been watching hours and hours and hours and countless hours of black footage stuff from the 60s, the civil rights movement, from Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, the Black Panthers. I've been watching. If you go to Google Video and you type in, like, Malcolm X, you'll find so much. I mean, it's, we are living in an age where people truly can be eternal. At least their ideas and their words and their thoughts can be eternal. But, you know, in the old days, they had to actually kill people because they figured, all right, if we kill him, we shut him up, and that's the end of it. But no, his words and these thoughts of these people are eternal. And we're going to show just how eternal they are tonight, because everything they've said throughout these, I guess it's been 50 years since then, but it still lives up today. It's 100% happening today, now. And I heard it was a great show last week. The show before this, The Worsley Show, King Mob filled in for him. I got a chance to listen to that, and he was saying some really good stuff in that. And one thing he said was that black people have been knowing about the New World Order for a long time, and he's exactly right, because as I was going through all this footage, you start to see a trend. These people know and have known about the New World Order. They just didn't know what it was, this hidden aspect that were keeping them down and making everyone else blind through the media. And they were never fooled by it. They were never lulled to sleep by it. So we're just going to examine all that. I'm going to play you clips from stuff that I've been watching. There's just a lot going on. I'm going to play you lots of black music as well. It's going to be total blacktacular. That's what Savior Generation will be this month. Black History Month, all black, all the time. So I hope you're in the mood, and I hope you're into it. If you're not into it, you need to get into it, because what they were fighting for, civil rights, the black people in the 60s, is exactly what we're fighting for right now. It's not civil rights, it's human rights. That's all it was. And these people are trying to make us the slaves just as they were trying to make black slaves then. So we need to wake up and see that our plight, our fight, is exactly the same as the civil rights movement of the 60s. So let's all get into it. Let's get some songs. Let's start. That's the best way. That's the best way to express it, because that's another way that they were doing it, through the music. Something that they tried to really suppress and demonize in the 80s and the 90s, the early 90s and the late 80s, when real, I don't want to say black power music, because that term sometimes scares people because they see a negative connotation in it. But through the videos I've been watching, they really describe what black power truly meant. And it's not what the media has turned everything into. The Black Panthers weren't what the media has turned them into. So it's very interesting to really see the natural progression of the propaganda machine, the way it, same thing, literally. Okay. So let's just listen, and as they say, don't believe the hype, because tonight, Savior Generation, we're going to set it right. Peace.
When black people begin to rebel, and you call it riots, we understand that those are not riots, those are rebellions. People are rebelling because of conditions and not because of individuals. No individual creates a rebellion. It's created out of the conditions, and those rebellions will continue. And it's not a long hot summer. That's white journalistic sensationalism. No such thing as a long hot summer. I know some places around that, you know, snow won't even touch the ground.
Black power is a consequence of the white backlash. Riots are consequences of the white backlash rather than a cause from it.
What you looking for? The same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this. I bring uh-oh, the roll below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on.
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal, but now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist preacher, teacher,
cause they never had this.
Number one, they wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me, I'm the epitome of public enemy. Used, abused without clues, I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, and so consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the pulp and play it ain't dope. The follower of Farrakhan, don't tell me that you understand until you hear the man. The book of the new school rap game, writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers on the same mind, I'm blind, caught in the middle end, not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of riddling, so claim that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of ya, a rap burglar, false media, we don't need it, do we?
It's fake as when it be to you, dig me? Yo, Terminator X, step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy.
As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punk can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks, some perpetrate and drink Clorox. Attack the black because I know they lack exact the cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool, never play the fool, just pay the rule. Remember there's a need to get alarm. Again I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play in the end prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night, they know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab and get elbow. Word to her, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the words, you might sing this. Just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, with some denying defiant, I swing polos. And then they clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that, the media is the wax. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo, Chuck, it must be on the pipe, right?
Depends, it pans, I snatch cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend, if for static. I see the tape recorder and I grab it.
No, you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen, I gotta ask him.
Yo, Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight? Yeah, boy, bum do bum rush the show. Yo, Grip,
get the green, black, and red in. Gold down, count down, and Armageddon. 8828, the S1s will put the left in effect, and I still will rock the hard jams, treat it like a seminar. Reach the bourgeois and rock the boulevard. Some say I'm negative, but then I'm positive. But what I got to give?
The media says this.
Red,
yo,
black,
don't
and green.
That hype. They got to be.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? Yo, the Megas got them going up to see Captain Kirk like a jerk and they out of work. Let me tell y'all a little something, man. A lot of people on daytime radio scared of us because they too ignorant to understand the lyrics of the truth. Don't be pumping into them clouds, that brain cells that just spun under the wooden skulls they call caps. You know what I'm saying? But the S1s are straightening it out quick, fast, in a hurry. Don't worry, flavor vision ain't blurry. You know what I'm saying? Yo, Terminator X.
Malcolm, what is your purpose here?
Well, my purpose here is to remind the African heads of state that there are 22 million of us in America who are also of African descent, and to remind them also that we are the victims of America's colonialism or American imperialism, and that our problem is not an American problem, it's a human problem. It's not a Negro problem, it's a problem of humanity. It's not a problem of civil rights, but a problem of human rights.
So, tonight on Save Your Generation, we're going to explore Black History Month. But what is Black History Month? I don't know. I don't know why it was created or why where the inception came from, but I do know that here in America, it also happens in the UK and in Canada. No other countries. In the UK, it happens in October. So why is it February here in the United States? I don't know. And through all the research I've done, I haven't seen any clear indication. I can guess and say that it's because some of their most prominent black leaders were murdered in February, one of them being Malcolm X, so maybe that's what they're commemorating every year, the way that they just slaughtered whoever was speaking out against. Sort of like they did to, well, I don't want to make that reference, because that's what it didn't, wasn't like Ken Lay compared to Jesus recently, too, so, I don't want to say, but that is what happened to the true Messiah. He was killed by the Roman Empire. And these people are coming and speaking out just the way that the Messiah did, and they're being slaughtered by this modern-day Roman Empire. And there's a lot of indication that says that it was more, all of these, Martin Luther King, JFK, obviously. I mean, who doesn't know that? It was not Lee Harvey Oswald. James Earl Ray is just another Lee Harvey Oswald. He did not really kill Martin Luther King Jr., and the Nation of Islam probably did kill Malcolm X, but it was not without the help of the CIA. Now, why would they want to kill him? It's because they are, which I am going to go into more detail later. But they were obviously a Masonic organization. You can tell by their symbol. You can tell by their handshakes. You can tell by... These are things that I wouldn't have noticed or wouldn't have known if I hadn't read that Tex Mars book, Codex Magica, because in that he really lays out all of the hand gestures, and I was noticing all of them in these videos. And speaking of Tex Mars, he's going to be on Rob Revere's show tonight at midnight, so make sure you stay tuned in to ReveereRadio.net for that. But what was I saying before? Let's talk about slavery first, before we get into modern-day black people. Oh, that, obviously, you know that was Public Enemy before. Can't have Black History Month without some Public Enemy, because they, modern-day rap music, where it was heading, Public Enemy was pioneering it, and if you look into the late 80s and early 90s of what hip-hop was, it was basically just taking over of what was happening in the 60s, what people were doing politically. Rap music was starting to do musically. Then this new wave about mid-90s came in, and it was called gangster rap, and it was something completely different. Instead of people yelling about the social conditions and things the way, you know, how they wanted to improve them, it was just yelling about guns and 40s and bitches, and now it's done a slow progress in the past 10 years, and now it's gone to diamonds and rims and the like, so... Again, that's all they have to do is just infiltrate it and change the course that it's going. Because if you listen to even people like Ice Cube in the early 90s, who now is not someone you'd consider a conscious rapper, but in the 90s he was speaking about real things. So that's just how it's always done. It's with an infiltration mechanism, and that's what they did through things like the Black Muslim Movement, the Black Panthers, the any of these organizations, the CIA, the government, whoever you want to say is doing it. It's obviously within the United States government. It's a branch. It's these rogue elements who infiltrate and then try to dismantle and disrupt and destroy whatever is going to go against what is known as the power structure, this corporate, capitalist, fascist dictatorship that we live in. So anyone speaking out against that is a target. And from there, I said I wanted to talk about slavery just briefly for a moment before we get into the modern day. And if I could understand correctly from reading on the Revere board, the consensus was, well, not everyone shared this, but I saw some people thinking that slavery is something just natural that needs to happen, that it's, you know, people don't mind being slaves. And to me, that's asinine. Who wouldn't... you're a slave. I mean, you don't consider yourself a slave because you enjoy it. You have a decent job. You have enough money. You have a nice car. You got a nice computer. You got, so you are, as they called in the old days, a house nigger. You get to be in a comfortable, happy position. But there's other people out there who aren't as comfortable, do not like their jobs, have to wake up every day and hate it, and only do it because if not, they don't have any food for their children. Because if not, they don't have a place to live. Those are the field niggers, and they're the people who are angry and recognize that they are slaves. And that's who I'm mostly speaking to out there right now, because the house niggers are happy in the house, and I got some great Malcolm X stuff where he really explains, you know, if the master's house is burning down, the field niggers say, yeah, burn. They want that house to burn. But the house niggers are the one there helping the master, trying to make that sure that the master stays right in his place. So, you know, I'm one of those who, if the master's house is burning down, I'm going to just stand there and hope that the wind picks it up and hope that it just continues to burn, because I've been kept down for all this time, and now is my chance to be free. And this is my chance for emancipation. So why would I not want that? And anybody who thinks that people wanted anything other than emancipation is one of those. But mainly the reason why I think that slavery is wrong is comes from the Bible. If you think about it, one of the only times where the Creator has manifested and showed himself through, I'd say, a great act of any type of what people want to say, a miracle that is undoubtedly the hand of God moving things, comes from the rescue of the very first thing in the Bible. Besides the creation, there was in Exodus rescuing the slaves from Egypt with Moses, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, all of it. The only time he ever had to come show himself was when the entire world was under slavery. And a lot of people don't understand that. That's why they don't understand the whole pyramid on the back of the dollar bill and why the pyramid and the eye is so important. It's because those ancient Egyptians who worshipped that Horus, that all-seeing eye, which is the same thing that the people present-day worship, it's because they had complete and total slavery over the entire world population. So the only way that those big, massive monuments in Egypt could have ever been built is if they had complete and total control, which they did. So the only way the true all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful master is, which was given to Moses as four Hebrew letters, which anybody, this is not debatable. If you read a Bible and you see in there the words, Lord, the Lord, Lord was never in there until it was retranslated. What was in there before were four Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Wah, and He. And you can pronounce that any way you want to, just know it was those four Hebrew letters. Some people say Yahweh, some people say Yahwah. I'm starting to think now, if you know anything about language, the origin of language, I'm going to use this example. Say like Celtic languages, the W and the V are sort of like an interchangeable sound. So that's why some people think it's Jehovah, but really that J should not have never been a J. It should have been a Y, so it would have sounded more like Yahweh. So I can see why people think it's Yahweh, Yahweh, or Yahweh with the V sound, kind of like Salwain or Salvain, which is spelled like Sam Hain, you know, that word, which is the Celtic celebration, a pagan celebration, but it's got that same W or V sound, because that's how older languages, you know, it had that interchangeable. So that name could be Yahweh or Yahweh or Yahweh, you know, it doesn't matter how you pronounce it. Just know that it was those four Hebrew letters and not Lord. It was never Lord. His name is not Lord. Okay? That's all I'm saying about that, because it should be pretty self-explanatory. And if you're still going to him as Lord, then you're not understanding why he specifically said, do not take the name of not Lord in vain. It never said Lord there. It says, do not take the name of Yahweh in vain. Well, however you want to say it, Yahweh in vain. It says it. Go read the Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments were given to Moses after he rescued the first slavery, the most massive slavery that ever was in Egypt. So, you can think that slavery is good, and you're probably one of those people who Yahweh will soon rescue us from. Because I think that'll be the next time when he decides that it's time to, I guess, reveal himself undoubtedly once again, is when now they have us under this new slavery and total control, microchip, whatever it's going to be. I think that's going to be the new deciding factor, so to speak, of when he will reveal himself again, what they call the second coming. It's going to be again with total slavery, because, you know, that's, he's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So I think the first time when he revealed was during slavery, the last time will be also during an entire world-dominated slavery, the New World Order. Don't, hey, you get it? Bible prophecy speaks if you pay attention to what it's saying. But, alright, so that was my little talk about slavery. When we get back, we're going to talk about modern-day slavery and how people who are black have recognized it, while the whites here in America were lulled to sleep during this time period, and they did not see the slavery, the New World Order, for what it was. But while blacks, they were the ones who were directly being affected by it, could see it plain as day. So we get back, we'll talk a little more about that. I'll play some clips for you.
You don't know? Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? What language did you speak then? What was your name? It couldn't have been Smith or Jones or Bunch or Powell. That wasn't your name. They don't have those kind of names where you and I came from. No, what was your name? And why don't you now know what your name was then? Where did it go? Where did you lose it? Who took it? And how did he take it? What tongue did you speak? How did the man take your tongue? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
I hate it when they tell us how far we came to be, as if our people's history started with slavery. Painfully, I discovered the shit they kept a secret. This is the Exodus, like the black Jews out of Egypt. I keep it reality-based with the music I make. Blow up the truth in your face with the style I run with, like the Navy missile that shot down Flight 800. I'm like the Africans who came here before Columbus, and from the 1500s until after the model, I watch Latin America get raped in the sorrow. You see, the Spaniards never left, después de Colón. And if you don't believe me, you can click on Univision. I never seen so much racism in all of my life. Every program and newscast, all of them white. It's like apartheid with 10% ruling the rest. That type of stress will make me put the fucking tool in your chest. Step in my way, nigga, I wouldn't wanna be ya. I burn slow like pissing drunk with gonorrhea. I'll do a free show in North Korea, burning the flag, while J. Edgar Hoover politicians dress up in drag, trying to confuse you, making it hard to follow this. Capitalism and democracy are not synonymous. You swallow propaganda like a birth control pill, selling your soul to the eye on the back of the dollar bill. But that'll never be me, cause I'm leaving the past, like an abused wife with the kids leaving your ass, like a drug addict clean and sober leaving a stash. Unbreakable technique, leaving a plane crash. I'm out with the black box and I refuse to return. I spit reality instead of what you usually learn, and I refuse to be concerned with condescending advice, cause I'm the only motherfucker that could change my life. Think I won't make it, but I know that I will escape the emptiness, cause that shit is slow and it kills the flow and the skill. I made y'all believe it at last. You can make the future, but it starts with leaving the past.
Lunch comes. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power. Yes, yes.
apostle is the source who is called by many names. Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, Jah, El Nu, El Kalum, the All. And we give praise to the Creator, we give praise for all you human beings who's down here on this planet, so-called Earth, and to all the extraterrestrial beings in other planets, in other places, in other dimensions throughout our universe and universes. I greet all of y'all with the greeting words of
peace. Africa is very right. The ultimate force is called by many names, Allah, God, Jehovah, Yahweh, many names, but there's only one that is his true name, and I think that we need to stick to that because he tells us more than one time, hallowed be thy name, do not take my name in vain. He says that you gotta call him by his name. So that's why I stress those four Hebrew letters, because those are the only letters that he ever gave anyone. He gave that directly to Moses. He gave that directly to the prophets. People who are saying Jehovah and things like that, you're taking that upon yourself to add that letter J, because the letter J, as you know, was not part of any alphabet system, let alone Hebrew. It was only a letter about 500 years ago up until now. So how could that have been his name, Jehovah? How could that have been? How could his name been Jesus? It wasn't. So these are mistranslations, these are misnomers, so we need to stick to the original, to the OG. We need to take it back to the old school, and that's what we're going to do tonight on Savior Generation. We're talking about what went on in the past, in the old school United States of America. What has been happening prior to the year 2007? A lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know what happened to prior to this week, prior to this month, prior to this last couple few minutes. And that's what they want you to do. They want you to not remember your past so you can be doomed to repeat it over and over and over again. And, you know, slavery has been something from the beginning, and I don't know, do we keep forgetting that that's the main goal? That's what people want. Any time people are allowed to have any sort of power structure, what they want is to be the master. They want to be the one who is owning you. But he said, you shall have no other gods before me, because I am a jealous God. And if you're serving someone else, you are their slave, therefore they own you. You are calling them master, so you're having a god before them. So you got to choose. It says in the Bible you cannot serve two masters, so who are you going to serve? The corporations or the infinite source of energy? Who? Pick one. So what are we going to talk about? We talked about slavery a little bit, and what happened after slavery. And around the 1860s, they decided that, as always, what they decide that there's going to be a drastic change in the social, economic, and basic living of the country. This is what happened 100 years later in the 1960s. They decided that there was going to be a change, and they have to decide, how was this change going to happen? Was it going to be a civilized social change where everyone just decides, all right, no more slaves, that's cool, you guys can just go walk around and be cool now? Or will there have to be bloodshed, like a civil war type thing? And in the 1860s, we saw that that's how that one was ended. It was ended with bloodshed. Any revolution, any true revolution, is going to have some sort of bloodshed. And in the 1960s, that obviously was no revolution, because there was only bloodshed on one side. And if anything, what that was, as it was for the 400 years previous to that, was just a new form of slavery. I guess a more socially approved form. And some people saw through that, other people didn't. And that's what we're going to discuss tonight. The civil rights movement, I mentioned on the last show, I think that all movements that were ever started in this country were started, well, what's the best way to keep someone down but make them think that they're improving is to hijack and take control of it, as they did with Christianity. You know, a true movement, something that's the truth, is not going to be hid forever. So the best way is to just distort that truth. Take a little piece of it, but then toss in a whole bunch of other bullcrap, and then you'll never know, you know, unless you weed through it. So that's what's happened with Christianity, and that's what also happened with the civil rights movement. So why then do I think that, let's just give an example of Martin Luther King Jr. People say that name and they think that he was this great man. He did great things for black people, who brought them civil rights. He did so many things. Black people today have so much to thank him for. But, I mean, so much that he has a holiday that just passed. Public schools have him in their history books and celebrate, but not, they don't teach you about the Black Panthers, though. They don't teach you about Malcolm X. And these were people who were actually... They don't even teach you about Bob Marley. And Bob Marley was someone who was feeding thousands upon thousands of people, just as the Black Panthers were. They were not just out there giving speeches saying, we need this to happen. We want this to happen. They were actually doing something. Martin Luther King, I've never... Not one time have I seen or heard anything of him going out of pocket or doing anything to help other people. I've seen him give a lot of speeches, and I heard a lot of his talk and rhetoric, which sounds a lot like the speeches that our politicians today give. That sort of that empty promise that make you feel good, but there's really nothing backing it. So we're going to dive deep into that and think, at some point, did King start to turn away from that, and could that be the reason that he was murdered? So, I don't know, let's play clips right now of some stuff that I found very interesting, and we'll discuss why it's important and what was really happening at that time. Because for that 100 years, between 1860 and 1960, a lot of people don't really recognize what had been going on after slavery was abolished. And basically, it was just slavery light. They didn't call it outright slavery, but people were still enslaved. People didn't have anywhere to go, so basically they were still living with their masters, but they would have a little nicer conditions and they weren't getting beat. But they would still have to go and pick cotton for about $1 a day. They didn't have money to go off and live somewhere else, so they just stayed with the master anyway. And that person was right in saying that a lot of people did stay behind, because they had no other choice, again. And does that mean that it's right then if you take somebody outside of their house and say, oh, you got no other choice, you're already here, so you might as well just be a slave, right? You got no other choice. Doesn't make it right. And people were starting to understand that that's why their living conditions were so bad. That's why they have no education. That's why they have no future. It's because they were done a horrible, horrible deed for 400 years, and there was never any type of true compensation or a resolution or assimilation done to this. However, if you look at things like the Holocaust, the Jews were given reparations, and the United States chipped in towards that. If you look into the Japanese internment camps held here, the Japanese were given reparations. The only one who haven't been given reparations were the people who had it for the longest. The Jews or the Japanese did not have it for 1/100th of the time that the Africans who were brought here did. So why is no reparations? Why are they deserved nothing except for poverty for eternity? Literally, that's the prize that they've been given. So let's listen to some clips and listen to what was happening after this period of 100 years of basic still slavery, but people saying that you're free and it's freedom, and you know, you're not slaves anymore. Everything's equal now. After this, everything's cool. We did this for 400 years, but now everything's cool, so we're straight. We're both brothers. But let's see what was really going on in the 60s.
That's how we medical think is progress.
Up until the point that we had a riot, everybody said, those niggas are all right. They're doing fine.
Okay.
Then when we had a riot, then the white man said, uh-oh, something's wrong, because these suckers are burning down my store. Now I got to give these niggas something because I thought they was happy.
The question of whether or not violence is going to be used is not a question for the black community. It's a question for white America. Because white America is the one who's used violence. For 400 years, we have been the recipients of violence. We have never lynched. We have never shot. We've never burned a church. We've never beaten people. We've never taken them to jail. That is the question for white America. The real question is, can she civilize herself before we get ready to civilize her?
I will not rest until we are able to make this kind of witness in this city so that the power structure downtown will have to say we can't stop this movement, and the only way to deal with it is to give these people what we owe them and what their God-given rights and their constitutional rights demand.
So in the 1960s, the social civil rights movement were divided, just like the truth movement is divided today. There are people who have different ideas and what they want to accomplish through this movement. And even back then, it was very divided. You had sects and groups that wanted to do the rebellions and just do, you know, massive, just because they were living in complete, I mean, no one is going to be able to understand the abject poverty that these people were living in, so I can't even try to express. But they were living in it to the point where they were just going to rebel and riot and just go and take, kind of like what happened in Katrina. And I want to talk a little bit about Katrina. Hopefully I'll get enough time tonight, because I just saw this movie, Refuge of Last Resort. I got it from Netflix. If you got anyway, yeah, I heard about it on that Rob Bishop show, so I decided to check it out, and I finally, wow, it is, martial law happened, martial law is probably, that was probably just a test run, when you look at the way that they did everything. Well, I don't want to go into it, because we're talking about something completely different, but if you can pick up that movie, then you can see the type of poverty that these people in the 60s were probably living under day to day. No money, no food, no anything, just complete desolate nothingness. And so they were thinking of a way to get out of that, so they chose the rebellion route. Then there were people who were not completely desolate, but they were intelligent, and they knew that there was something completely just wrong happening, and they were saying that the only way that we are going to get this fixed is through violence, is through some kind of change. And those were the type of people like Malcolm X or the Black Panther movement. Now, the Black Panthers have been painted with this brush that says that they were same thing with Malcolm X. Anytime, that's kind of the card that they play. Just like in the Truth Movement now, they say that we're all anti-Semites, they say that we're racist, whatever. This is how the media does it, and it's continued. But just like then, they were painted as, you know, they're racist, they're against all white people, so let's be real scared of them, because they want some type of revolution, and it's not a good one. And that's what they're going to say and do say about the Truth Movement. So see the similarities here. But you had that faction of people who were intelligent and the spokespersons, because they saw what was happening. They saw their people in distress. They, too, were living in distress. So they were saying, all right, if something doesn't change, we're going to change it by any means necessary. By violence, we're going to civilize America for her. Because for 400 years plus the 100 years after slavery was quote-unquote abolished, these people were being lynched and beaten and terrorized all through the South with no repercussions. There were no such thing as laws. Like now, nowadays, if a white person kills a black person, or anybody kills anybody, it's going to be investigated. Something's going to happen. Then people were just murdered, and no word. It was like, it was just a nigger. I mean, and it was probably just a cop who killed him anyway. So they were saying they had enough of that and were going to take up arms to defend against that. But if you see it portrayed in the media, they were saying, oh, they're just these crazy blacks who are just going to start killing all us white people. We've got to protect ourselves from this. But that's not really what was happening. And then there were the third party, who was the Dr. Martin Luther King party, who said, all right, we'll just go and stand out at places, and if they kill us, all right, they killed us, but we got to be nonviolent. We're going to do all this peacefully and nonviolently, which is the other group that you see even now today, you know, that tree-hugging hippie group who say, put down all your guns, we don't need a Second Amendment, you don't need guns, come on. So, you know, even to this day, it's those three groups that are continually the groups that are running these social movements, these revolutions, and we see them today. Where do you fit in? Because I'm sure you out there listening fit into one of these groups. And so therefore, in the black movement, how these groups went about this social change was their main a difference, because they all wanted the same thing. They wanted a true freedom and equality, not just being able to sit down in the same restaurant. They wanted to actually have a true democracy where they were getting the equal representation. They were having, you know, land. They were given money. They were given the things that a normal person would be able to get. And some of these groups were active and actually did do things, like the Black Panthers, who actually had a breakfast program, who did many things that helped the homeless and the poor people in their areas, all over the world, actually, not only in Chicago, over in California, it was all over the country. They were doing very, very big, positive things. And there were people like Dr. Martin Luther King, who did mostly big talks and speeches in places, and you see these types of people now, to this day. And you also see the same tactics of how they try to bring down these people happening today, how they try to discredit and they attempt to destroy the movement by tearing it apart from the inside. And I don't know if we're seeing that yet today, but I'm sure it's going to come at some point, because this is how they've always run this game. This is what they do. You just gotta watch, go to Google Video right now and watch every single Malcolm X video you can. Go there and watch every single Martin Luther King speech and video you can watch. Go in there and watch this one movie in particular. It's called COINTELPRO, The FBI's War on Black America. And that really, it doesn't point the finger and say, none of these things ever will just go out and flat out and tell you, but I'm going to tell you tonight that it was definitely not only CIA, but Masonic, and you've got to look at the things that they do, why it's such a big deal, even the things in the Nation of Islam, like, you know how they call themselves X? That X has different degrees. Like, some of the people are named 12X or 37X, and these are the different degrees of the Nation of Islam. It's the same as the degrees of Freemasonry. And when you look at their little half crescent moon with the star, that's a Masonic symbol. That's an occult symbol. If you look at you gotta watch this, it's called Make It Plain, Malcolm X Make It Plain. They show a video of after he gets Muhammad Ali. I'll talk about more of this later, because this is very interesting, how Muhammad Ali all of a sudden joined the Nation of Islam, you know? And that's kind of what they do in the Freemasons, too. They just bring in their friend from the outside. Even if they, you know, it's not like he just all of a sudden got some spiritual awakening. Malcolm X went to see him when he fought Sonny Liston. He sat in the seventh seat. He made it a point to say that. I don't know why, but that stuck in my head, because then Muhammad Ali, well, Cassius Clay at the time, beat Sonny Liston in the seventh round. Well, he didn't knock him out or anything. Sonny Liston just refused to come out in the seventh round. So that, to me, made me say, well, this is kind of interesting. So I kept watching. I was watching real close, and then they go to a part of the video where Muhammad Ali, that's his new name that he gets, where it's given to him by Louis X, who is now known as Louis Farrakhan. Why is that important? I'm going to play another clip of Louis. You know, I might save this for, because Malcolm was killed on February 21st, so maybe I'll save it for next week, and I'll do a special show that's just on the murder of Malcolm X, how it was CIA, how it was a Masonic murder, because, you know, if you turn your back on the Brotherhood, they will kill you. That's the thing that they always say, that they're going to kill you. And if you watch all the videos, you can put together the pieces, and I've put them together, and you can see it as clear as day, but I'll do that next week. For right now, let's stick towards the different sects of these movements and how they work together and opposite, and why I know that someone like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was working along with the establishment, because they would rather have a peaceful, quiet, you know, they don't want a big, crazy, gun-toting, true bloody revolution that would cause a true power change, but what they would like is to have people be lulled to sleep, just as they lull us to sleep now. You know, before that election, but before the Democrats got in, people were really active, but now they've been lulled back to sleep because the Democrats are in and now everything's fine. Same thing happened with Martin Luther King. People thought, all right, well, we're going to get our civil rights. We're going to be able to sit at the same lunch counter. Now we'll really be equal and everything will be fine. Now I won't be poor anymore. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. There was no real social change. It just lulled everybody back to sleep. And really, it made more resentment and hate, because the people were forced to try to integrate instead of just letting, I mean, maybe it would have just been better to be separate but equal. And by equal, you have to really give them money and really give them appropriate housing, really appropriate education, and then you could separate them, and that would have been fine, because if the white people didn't want to be around them, hey, what, you know, why force that? Because I think it was part of their plan to cause even more separation and more hatred, and to really, at the same time, while saying you gave them something special, you gave them nothing at all. You gave them an empty bag. So, alright, let's listen to some songs. We'll talk more about this when we get back. This is Save Your Generation. It's Black History Month. That's what February is. So you're going to learn something about black people.
You're listening to Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech and the number one activist site on the internet, revereradio.net. Step into our world.
They get a terror storm alone because they're afraid of it. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. And I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. Revere Radio.
Revere Radio. Not for fronting ass niggas.
Revere Radio is not intended for fronting ass crackers either.
When you talk about law and order, the very law and order that you talk about oppresses us. So therefore we offer the extermination of that law and order. And you have shown us clearly that we can only do it by being armed.
The existentialist philosophers talk about the executioner-victim relationship that is always prevalent in most of the world today, especially the non-white world, where they're fighting for their liberation. He says there are executioners and their victims. The executioners are self-imposed. The victims begin to fight and agitate for their liberation. They use all type of means to get their liberation. The revolutionary philosopher Frantz Fanon says that what happens is that the victim begins to agitate. He uses all types of means against his executioner in fighting for a position of equality. After he tries a number of means and they do not work, he then begins to imitate the means by which his executioner hacks him down. That is usually through force and violence. He says, and then they begin to use it against them, breaking the one taboo that they've never been able to break, hitting back against their executioners, so that you ought not to be upset. If we are violent, the United States taught us very well how to be violent.
In my big black boots. Walking in my big black boots.
Goddamn, another fucking payback with a twist. The motherfucking shot from the Bucks miss. Ice Cube is outgunned. What is the outcome? Will they do me like Malcolm? Can my bus style, new style, standing strong? Wow, others run 100 miles, but I never run, never will. Deal with the devil with my motherfucking steel. Boom. Tried to do me, but I was a boy in the hood before the movie. Yeah, call me nigga bigger than a spook, but you the one that voted for truth, motherfucker. White man is something I tried to study, but I got my hands bloody. Yeah, they said I could sing like a Jaybird, but nigga, don't say the J word. I thought they was bugging, cause to us Uncle Sam is Hitler without an oven. Burning our black skin, bomb a neighborhood, then push the crack in. Wrong from the first day, I don't understand why a nigga got an AK. Calling me an African American, like everything a parent did. Shit, devil, you got to get the shit right. I'm black, blacker than a trillion midnight. Don't believe the hype was said, and yet by the great Chuck D. Now they tryna fuck me with no back. Got 3-piece suit, using niggas like turkey shoots.
My motto is freedom like a prostitute. Now if I say no dollars, devil, you run a straight mind. Fuck a dumb shit and give my take nine. And if they approach us, I bury those cockroaches. And if you can't deal with my killing will, here's a new gift to get. Try my death certificate. America must. America versus like toast, like George. I'm doing coast to coast. Trouble in the fucking comes a nigga with the motherfucking monster dump. Get off me, punk.
Yes!
Betty Tweedy's.
And then I heard a shot. Boom.
I was raised to be white, black. I was raised to be equal to anyone. Listening to you, you are so precious. I just can't believe it. I am shocked. You're scaring me.
What is he saying that you have a problem with? What is he saying that you have a problem with? What scares us is I think we hear violence.
I think you don't know what the fuck it is you're talking about.
I'm so scared to go out in the world next year because I was never a prejudiced person until I'm listening to you. It's really scary hearing what you're saying. I'm very scared.
What is he saying that you have a problem with? What is he saying that you have a problem with? What scares us is I think we hear violence.
I think you don't know what the fuck it is you're talking about.
That same question about fearing, white people fearing, you know, what will the black folks do and stuff. We should be running down the street screaming, rapping, and raving because when you look at the statistics, who is what dying? From the policemen, from the KKK, from the skinheads.
What scares us is I think we hear violence. What is he saying that you have a problem with? And why is it when a black man stands up to speak for his people and other people stand up to speak for their people, there's no problem with it? But you're saying he said black, he said Jew. When people talk, they talk like that. But why is it when a black man stands up to speak for his people, you feel so threatened? Everybody's paranoid. And you talk about not segregation. We live in Harlem. We live in Watts. We live in Bedford-Stuyvesant. That's a form of segregation. We walk through Bensonhurst. We get killed. So what are you talking about?
We have to defend ourselves. We intend to defend ourselves. We've did so in the past, and we're going to do it today, and the day after that, and the day after that. Because only through this proper example of the self-defense and the proper example of retaliation, and by letting these people know that we move from some basic laws, that anything that goes down on oppressed people, on the part of the oppressor, it should be reciprocal. And in plain proletarian workers' language, it takes two to tango. As soon as these motherfuckers go, we go.
Revere Radio Network.
I got a letter from the government the other day. Opened it and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for the army or whatever. A bitch of me giving a damn. I said never. Here is a land that never gave. Cold sweating as I dwell.
switch on, switch off, switch on. Man, switch in, switch on, switch off, switch on. Man, switch in, switch on, switch off, switch on. Man, switch in, switch on, switch off.
Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man, and I could never be a veteran. On the strength of situations up here, I brought a rule to you, so I'm looking for the steel. Looking for the steel. I got a letter from the government the other day, opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me.
America, black people are treated very much as the Vietnamese people or any other colonized people, because we're used, we're brutalized. The police in our community occupy our area, our community, as a foreign troop occupies territory.
I don't think very many people really understand that the rise of the modern police force is directly correlated to industrialization in the Northeast, that as factories were growing and employing lots of very poor people, there was social tension. And these poor workers wanted their rights, and at times they would strike to get them. And so the factory owners would hire some big burly guys to put down that unrest. And that's the origin in the Northeast of the police departments. In the South, it was related to controlling slaves and to patrolling the areas of free blacks. So it's pretty racist in its foundation.
The emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. Police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I throw a monitor, cops.
detail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under our chain banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the street like watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seeds.
Live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We tired of that, corporations hiring blacks. Denying the facts, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's CeeLo for push-ups now. Many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
Damn.
American justice. This is American democracy. And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that if democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me. Democracy is hypocrisy.
Right.
If democracy means freedom, why aren't our people free?
Right.
If democracy means justice, why don't we have justice?
Right.
If democracy means equality, why don't we have equality?
Don't keep the sucker coming into my face with that yang yang.
Hey, thanks for staying tuned in to Save Your Generation. You can listen to us Friday nights, 8 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time Zone on ReveraRadio.net. And if you like this show, if you like anything that you've ever heard on this network, please go to ReveraRadio.net and hit the donation button. Give some money so that you can keep this on the air, so that we can give this alternative information, stuff that you're not going to hear on CNN, CBS, CNN, CABC, ABC, ABC, ABB, up, down, all those networks, they're all the same. They're not going to give you any real information, and they're not going to give you the information that pertains now, yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. They're going to give you whatever's the hot buzzword, whatever bullcrap that they're going to distract you with, but they're not going to give you the truth. And even on other so-called alternative, I was listening to some network the other, actually it was this morning, strangely enough. I don't even remember what it was called, but I didn't realize that there are other networks besides, you know, the RBN, GCN, Revere. There are like a couple other ones, stuff that I had never heard of, but I tried to listen to the stuff on, and it was absolutely horrific. Like, they seemed to have somewhat of an idea that 9/11, you know, was an inside job. I hate saying that, though. If we let that become a catchphrase, it'll really destroy any credibility we have. So we've got to stop saying 9/11 was an inside job. We have to start saying that we need a second investigation or something to that effect. I feel like if we let 9/11 was an inside job turn into nothing more than just a cheap catchphrase, then that's what the movement will become. That's my own personal opinion. But they seem to know that there was government complicity in the 9/11 attacks, but they don't know much else. And, you know, Revere really seems like the most people who are willing to think outside of the box. And that's why I know that you're going to be receptive to what we're talking about tonight, which is, you know, I played a long music block right there, and, well, mainly because music says things. When I listen to music, I say, wow, I wish I could have said that like that. So how can I really describe the type of atrocity that was happening, being perpetrated on these black people for hundreds of years, and still up to this day, things like profiling and police brutality towards blacks have not stopped. It's only less than what it was, say, in the 60s. But in the 60s, it was reaching a point where it was going to be, it was going to have to be another type of revolution or civil war or something, because people were getting fed up with it. People weren't going to stand for any more of what was happening. And people like the Black Panthers, and there were other organizations who were like the Black Panthers, who were taking up arms and saying, you know, if you come at us, they were the Ed Browns of then. You know, this movement, what is going on, what has happened, is the same thing. See the connection that it is. They were just saying exactly what Ed Brown is saying. What you're doing is wrong. What I'm doing is the truth and rightful. Therefore, if you come at me, I have no choice but to defend myself. But in the media, it was, Black Panthers have guns. Say they're going to kill all white people because they are angry. That's not what they were saying. They were saying, we're sick of the police killing us, killing our brothers. Hey, you look at what happened to Fred Hampton. Gunned down while he slept in his bed. Murdered by the police. There were hundreds of bullet shells outside of the apartment. Not one was fired from inside. You can see that in one of those films, the one about COINTELPRO. Go look for that. Just search for COINTELPRO War Black America. That's what it's called. But just Google those. Search for that on Google Video and watch that one. It really, really tells a lot about what happened. But when you see the reason why they went after people like Fred Hampton and the people who were saying things aside from Martin Luther King, who were saying, let's do it with nonviolence, is because they were looking to do it the real way a revolution can occur, which is with protection, with arms. That's the only way you have a real revolution. There's no such thing as a nonviolent revolution. There must be some sort of bloodshed. These people were saying, all right, they're not going to give us what we want, so we're going to take what we deserve. And they were going to do that by any means. Are people willing to do that with this, what we have, revolution? It's really nothing. It's not a revolution. We should call it not that. We should call it just an idea, a movement, a social movement where we're trying to enlighten and awaken people to the deception that's been going on from the beginning. And that's what the black movement was. They were trying to awaken and enlighten the white Americans and also their fellow brothers who have been deceived for so long to what was really going on in America. They say it's democracy, but it's really hypocrisy. And people to this day still don't understand that, and people within this movement think that the only way that we're going to change things is from within this Democrat, Republican, false left-right paradigm. We can't change it that way. It's not going to. It's going to be another false change, the way the Civil Rights Movement was a false change. There was nothing changed. No one truly got any better off. Because you could drink out of the same water fountain, what did that really do? Not a thing. We're just being real. This is real talk on Save Your Generation. From there, let's discuss. Let's play a clip about the Black Panthers, actually. Let's talk more about them, because, in my opinion, the Black Panthers were the one, I think, the most feared by the United States government, because they were actually doing things. They weren't just talking. They had their weapons, and they were having them in plain view, so you saw they were walking around fully loaded saying, all right, you're going to come after us? Do you see I have a gun in my hand? So if you're going to come after me, we're going to be equal. It's going to be even Stevens here. And they were doing things for the community, like a breakfast program, feeding thousands upon thousands of poor, hungry black children. Now, how come the government couldn't feed those children, but the Black Panthers could? They had the resources to do it, which means it must not have taken too terribly much effort. But more effort than this government, which claims to be one way, claims to be the one that's helping, but is really not, as you all know. Let's listen to this.
People learn by example. I don't think anybody has an argument with that. I think that when Huey P. Newton said that people learn basically by observation and participation, I think that everybody caught on to that. So what we're saying very simply is that if they learn by observation and participation, that we need to do more acting than we need to do writing. And I think the Black Panther Party is doing that. That we didn't talk about a Breakfast for Children program, we've got one. We're not going to tell you how many kids we intend to feed and feed in Chicago. We're feeding 3,000 to 4,000 every week already, and I don't know how many all around the country. We're not talking about beginning to think about treating people free when they need medical services. We're opening a free health clinic in the city of Chicago in less than 3 weeks. These are the type of examples that people can relate to.
There had been a systematic effort by the FBI in Chicago and nationally to destroy the Panthers. Previously, the FBI in Chicago had sent a letter to the head of the Elrukans, Jeff Fort, telling him the Panthers were trying to assassinate him. Didn't he want to take some action to prevent that? They had deliberately attempted to provoke things between the Panthers and other groups and attempted to discredit the Panthers publicly.
They didn't have to kill every leader. All they had to do was kill one of the most important and up-and-coming and messianic leaders who was doing what Fred Hampton was doing, to send the message to all those young folks, whether they be black or white or Latin or whatever, who wanted to get involved in the struggle, that these are this is the game that you're getting involved in. We'll kill you in your bed.
I think during different periods, the government uses different tactics, and sometimes their methods will be to publicly discredit groups, to jail people. We saw that sometimes with regard to the Wabas, they actually did kill people. We saw with regard to the Communist Party, they frequently would jail people or attempt to ruin their reputations. I think with regard to the black movement in particular, the escalation of the government's attacks was very clear. And I think assassinations, setting people up for internecine rivalries which could lead to deaths, I think the government has shown a willingness to use any form of violence that it felt was necessary.
I don't think it's a secret to anybody listening right now that the United States uses those same exact tactics to this day, when they want to discredit anything that you see in the media, stuff that you know is true, especially about the truth movement, any type of people like Ed Brown, or if you're talking about 9/11 truth or anything, they want to discredit, they want to just, you know, I don't even have to go into that. Let's just listen to more. I wanted to, this is also from that movie, COINTELPRO, The War on Black America. Go see that. Google video. I have it linked at tiredofbeingalive.com too, if you want to find it easier. Let's listen to now the 10-point program, what that was. The Black Panthers, it was actually like a political party. That's why they call themselves the Black Panther Party, because they're an actual political party. And their platform was based on something called the 10-point program, and it was basically their outline for what they were trying to accomplish. So let's listen to what that was. I think it's read by Fred Hampton. He was one of the Panthers that were murdered that they were just speaking about. He was only 20 years old, a brilliant, brilliant kid. He was only a kid, really, 20 years old, but he was brilliant nonetheless, and he was really changing this American society, this decadent American society, and that is why they had to kill him, because he was truly, you know, being a catalyst for change, and because of that, their agenda to bring in this false freedom would not have been passed if people like Malcolm X and the Black Panthers were able to speak up in the forefront, which is why they had to control the opposition the way that they do now. They have a controlled opposition for everything. You see the shills on TV day in and day out. Martin Luther King was their shill. He was saying, alright, we just want to sit at the same table as you, and we just want to be equal and free. But later in Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s career, he began to speak out on things of like poverty and saying, demanding them to start giving money and starting to speak out about the Vietnam War. And that's when Mr. James Earl Ray, even though in the, I think it was the late 80s or 90s, the family of Dr. King won a settlement, a wrongful death from the government, saying that James Earl Ray did not kill him and that the CIA was involved. You can look into that. But they won money. It was an actual civil case. So it's no secret that it wasn't James Earl Ray and that it was the CIA, just as, you know, people know that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill JFK. It's the same thing, but I think they needed to kill JFK first to set that tone. Because if you think about it, if they kill JFK, then no white person in America is going to give a damn about any niggers they kill after that. So once the president was dead, they could kill Malcolm X, they could kill all the Black Panther leaders, they could kill Dr. King, they could kill anyone they wanted, because they had set the precedent by killing the president first. So, you know, to black people, it was like they had killed the president multiple times. I was watching some footage, and people were like, you know, I can't believe this has happened again. This is like they killed the president. And, you know, cause that's how all the black people felt. But the white people didn't really care, so they didn't care who killed these people. They couldn't care less. They just knew that these niggers were being uppity. We had some uppity niggers, and someone was at least taking care of these uppity niggers. And that's what they're going to start saying soon. About these people who call for 9/11 truth and call up all these radio shows all the time. Oh, we just got these uppity psycho tinfoil hat people. We need to get rid of them. Put them in camps. Let's get rid of these uppity truth niggers. That's what you all are out there listening, you truth niggers. Now, on a serious note, this is the 10-point program.
We want freedom. We want the power to determine the destiny of our black community. We want full employment for our people. We want an end to the robbery by the capitalists of our black community. We want decent housing, fit for shelter for human beings. We want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this decadent American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and our role in the present day society. We want all black men exempt from military service, and we want immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. We want freedom for all black men held in federal, state, county, and city prisons and jails. We want all black people, when brought to trial, to be tried by a jury of their peer group, our people from their black communities, as defined by the Constitution of the United States. We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace.
I want freedom and I want peace too. Now what's so wrong about wanting that? Why was the Black Panther Party such an immediate threat to this American society? Because they were exposing it for what it truly was, and they were going to pull the wool from over white America's eyes if they would have let them. Black people have seen through this New World Order a long time before the whites have, and it's because they're the ones who were being oppressed and enslaved by it. Now, only now, has your average white person, not even your average, only your searching, truth-seeking white person has now discovered that, yes, they're trying to enslave everyone. We're gonna all be wanting and begging for freedom soon. So what we need to do is realize who the real enemy is. And even in those days, what the media was painting the picture was is that they were against all whiteys, because the people in those movements would use terms like crackers and whiteys and things like that. But the term, for example, cracker, what that means is, well, in slavery, the only white people that they would be in contact with, well, for the most part, were the slave masters, the people who were cracking you with a whip. So that crack of the whip was coming from white people who were the crackers. They were the ones cracking the whips, not black people, not anyone else. So that's where that term came from. And now they say that because the people who are still in charge are still cracking you with the whip, but now they have these mental whips and chains that they don't need to enslave us physically because we're all mentally in shackles. The blacks had been brainwashed into thinking that they truly were two-thirds of human beings, second-class citizens who were nothing compared to that their only hope in life was to someday hopefully be as good as the white man. And then the white man was brainwashed into thinking the opposite, that he was so great and so much better, and this other person was a non-human being, and also the fact that this country, the United States, was true and free, and that there was equality, even though it was obvious that there wasn't. So it's kind of strange that people could be so blind. Alright, let me wrap up my main idea right here, and then we're gonna go to a song. Basically, what I'm saying, wrap it up, B. Alright, what I'm saying is, the people like the Black Panthers and Malcolm X were really pushing for social change, and they were saying that they wanted to do it by any means necessary, and that, you know, to truly have this revolution, if they're not going to give it to you, what you need to do is take it. And they were also saying that we needed to fend for ourselves and not depend on anyone, whether that be the white man or anyone else, to get us anything. So we need to be running these programs for ourselves and doing things active in the community. However, Dr. Martin Luther King, who I say to this day, if you look at, I'm going to play some of his quotes and things, and if you listen and really pay attention, and even if you watch the way he reads it, you can tell that he's reading something that's prepared, but it's kind of, you just got him kind of, it's one of those things that you can't explain, you just got to kind of look for, and you know what you're looking for. And you can see it even in things like the way Farrakhan would speak versus the way that Malcolm would speak. He was very natural. He was very, like what he was saying was his own thoughts and ideas, and that he really believed in what he was saying, not that he was saying it because he was a spokesperson, a talking head, kind of like a Bill O'Reilly. When I see Bill O'Reilly say, I think he's not really saying this because he believes it. He's saying this because he's a talking head and he's paid to. And that's what Martin Luther King sounded like. He was saying these nonviolent, go here and sit in and take a bullet for the cops. And alright, let's just go to a song right now. Maybe you'll get what I'm saying. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't care. And you can't see the significance and how this is exactly like the truth movement. And we need to see the mistakes that were made during these movements, during these uprisings, during these revolutions, and see how we can not fall into the same mistakes and not let history repeat. Get me, feel me. We'll be right back. Save your generation, revereradio.net. Yeah.
Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not, I just did so much damage to my body and my brain. Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not,
I just did so much damage to my body and my brain.
Reverse the brain damage. It's not too late. Listen to Save Your Generation. Friday nights at 8 Eastern, only on RevereRadio.net. Corporate media equals brain damage.
Brain damage, ever since the day I was born. Drugs, what they used to say I was on.
I am the mother with six children. I live on a plantation in an old piece of house. They don't know what else to get a good meal. We go work in Miss Ann's house for $2 a day. If we don't want to do that, she tell us, well, you got to move. See, where you going to go to? You don't have nowhere to go to.
I want to go to Africa. Instead of being pimped like a hoe in America. Swaziland, Namibia, Libya, Egypt, Chad, Algeria, Niger, Nigeria, Rwanda, Uganda, Cabinda, Botswana, Madagascar, Zanzibar, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Kenya, Ghana, Liberia, Togo, Benin, Burkina Faso, Morocco, Guinea, Lesotho, Western Sahara, Zaire, Tunisia, Mauritania, Sierra Leone, Tanzania, Gabon, Senegambia, Ivory Coast, the People's Republic of Congo, Cameroon, Central African Republic of Mali, Angola, Malawi, Somalia, Guinea-Bissau, Burundi. Word up, I love you all truly. I wanna go to Africa. Instead of being pimped like a hoe in America. Instead of being pimped like a hoe by America. I wanna go to Africa. Instead of being pimped like a hoe in America. Instead of being pimped like a hoe by America.
Is full equality and full rights of citizenship for Negroes.
The goal of Dr. Martin Luther King is to give Negroes a chance to sit in a segregated restaurant beside the same white man who has brutalized them for 400 years. The goal of Dr. Martin Luther King is to get Negroes to forgive the people who have brutalized them for 400 years by lulling them to sleep and making them forgetting what those whites have done to them. But the masses of black people in America today don't go for what Martin Luther King is putting down. As you said in one of your articles, it's psychologically insecure, something of that sort. I forget how you put it. But you didn't endorse what Martin Luther King was doing yourself.
I do not reject his goals of full integration and full equality rights for American citizens. Do you reject these
goals? If you
goals?
Don't think that he's walking on the right road, I'm quite sure you don't agree that he'll get to the right place.
Zimbabwe,
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 And we are all lucky to be. Everybody in this room, lucky to be. Even black people, lucky to be here. But if you black, you gotta look at America a little different. If you black, America's like the uncle that paid your way through college, but molested you. Oh, you gotta forgive, right? You gotta forgive. What's the biggest issue in America right now? The most divisive issue in America right now is affirmative action. Now, a lot of people think affirmative action got a lot to do with the 60s and the back of the bus and separate lunch counters. No, 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 no. When you see footage of the 60s and see black people, see us getting sprayed down and hosed down and dogs getting sicked on us and little girls getting burnt up in churches, that's just white people being nice. Nicer than they was in the 50s, 40s, and 30s. Shit, there's black people that died in the 30s that was looking down from heaven in the 60s going, man, them niggas got it good. No, no, no. Affirmative action was put into place to offset policies that the United States government implemented during slavery that affect us today. Now, when I talk about slavery, no, no, no. When I talk about slavery, I'm just talking about a period of time where black people had no rights. So you talk about the 1600s to about 1964. You know, give or take a year, depending on when your town decided to act right. Now people go, well, what happened during slavery that could affect us today? What happened during slavery that could affect us today? A lot of shit happened during slavery that affects us every day. For instance, during slavery, they used to take the biggest, strongest slaves and breed them and try their best to make big, strong super slaves, okay? That's right. That's right. And there's evidence of that today, like the NFL, for instance. Sorry, NFL stands for nigga fucking large. They bred the slaves, and this is why black people dominate every physical activity in the United States of America, okay? We're only 10% of the population, we're 90% of the final four, okay? We fucking dominate all this shit, okay? Basketball, baseball, football, boxing, track, even golf and tennis. As soon as they make a heated hockey rink, we're gonna take that shit to them. Motherfuck Wayne Gretzky. Wait till you see LeBron on some skates. You ain't seen shit yet. He just gonna have one skate chilling. What's up? He ain't even gonna have a stick. He gonna smack the puck with his dick. Ow! Slap shot, bitch! So that's what they did to the big, strong slaves. And you know what they did to the smart ones? Or at least the ones they thought were smart, they killed them. That's what they did. That's right. That was the policy of the United States government, to kill smart black people. That's right. So the real smart motherfuckers had to hide the fact that they were smart, okay? The law of the land was, if you read, you die. If you read, you fucking die, okay? So you know what that means? The first black drug dealers didn't even sell drugs. They sold books. Say, yo, man, I got 2 pages, man. I got 2 pages, man. Check it out, man. Check it out, man. I got 2 pages, man. Yo, man, I got a word. I got a word. Check it out, man. I got a new word, man. I got a new word, man. It's new, man. It's new, man.
A little comic relief for you out there on tonight's Save Your Generation. We're talking about some heavy subject matter like slavery. That is the African slave trade, civil rights movement here in the 1960s in America, and, you know, things that are not discussed so much, and not discussed, I think, from a nonpartisan, from a non-biased point of view, just from, a historian's point of view, just to get the facts about what was really taking place during these time periods, because we always get a slant. We always have it from a point of view of someone who's looking to either convince you of something or to gain something from telling you this information. So, basically, I want you to take all this for yourself, take this information and think about what really went on. Was it some angry blacks who thought that they deserved more or were just deserving what was truly going to be equality. And they did not get that because they were lulled to sleep by the words of Dr. King. I don't think he knew that that's what he was doing. At times, I think that he was probably a CIA-controlled shill, but then there are other times where I think that maybe he was just a really sincere, really deep-down, good old Christian guy who really believed in Jesus Christ and bought the whole into the you shouldn't protect yourself, you should just be killed. But if you think about it, I also believe in the Messiah, and I believe in the things that which were taught, but I also believe that there comes a certain point when if you don't defend yourself, you know you're going to be killed. That becomes suicide if you're not going to, you are allowing someone to take your life. That's suicide. So I think that the Messiah would be against suicide, and if you think back to the times when he walked on the earth, you read stories where he's with his apostles and someone takes out a sword and he says, no, put your sword back in its place, it's not time, or something to that effect, which means he never said, don't carry a sword, don't ever have protection. He just said, you weren't going to be the aggressor, you were only going to take it out when you were threatened, when it was time, when you needed to, when you were desperate. So I think that the reason why that these movements didn't exactly turn out the way that it was supposed to was because once the populace was lulled to sleep by the nonviolent movement, once they were able to not ride in the back of the bus and have little quote-unquote freedoms, they were happy and everyone just went back to sleep. Kind of like now in the truth movement, when we want to expose the truth, just like they were trying to expose the truth, they give you a little bit and people are satisfied with that. So when they do give us a little bit, when they put Democrats in, you need to realize that that's part of the paradigm and they're not really going to change anything. And some of the black leaders of the 60s started to see through that paradigm and started to see through things like the Vietnam War and started to say, hey, we're not fighting in these wars. We don't think that black people should even be made to go fight in these wars because they're not benefiting from it like the corporations are and the government is. They're the ones, they could see even then that these wars were being fought for benefit, but your average white American there was thought that we were defending freedom and spreading democracy, and they said the same thing in the Vietnam War, but really the person who we were supporting was an evil dictator, murderous man, just as we always do in these wars. We take out someone who's democratically elected because they're not funding our agendas, the American agenda, so they put in someone who will. And the people have no idea, but then some of us, like people on Revere Radio Network, people like Dr. King started to, people like Malcolm X, people like anybody in the civil rights movement, they saw through that and started to speak out, and as soon as they did were when they all started to die. So I guess up to a certain point, if they were only just rioting and being rebellious about black issues, it was fine. They didn't really care because they knew that the majority of white America didn't give a damn. So they can just let them do whatever, we'll just keep killing them, we'll let whatever has to happen. But as soon as they started exposing the true underlying agenda, then they said, okay, we need to shut these people up now. But you know what? All of their words are still on record to this day, just like us. They can't kill us all, and even the ones they can kill, we are putting our ideas and our thoughts on record, and they will be here for eternity. And all of these things will never go away, and they'll never be able to defeat this movement, and they'll never be able to defeat the spirit of Dr. King or Malcolm X or Eldridge Cleaver or Stokely, Kwame Carmichael, or any of those leaders. Not Jesse Jackson, though. He also is a Freemason and part of that CIA, FBI, inside connection thing. But we're going to discuss those on a different one. But, you know, the people that were really speaking out about the truth, Huey P. Newton, Fred Hampton, all of them. Pick one. It won't be able to. So don't make fun of me because I'm just trying to finish up the show here. And I got people laughing at me, but I'm being real. This is real talk. This is serious stuff. This is exactly what's happening right now. And I hope you see that the Ed Browns of the world, the Alex Jones of the world, are the same thing as the Malcolm X's of the world. Just because one was fighting for the equality of people with different skin, now we're having to fight for the equality of everyone. So I hope that now people who aren't dark-skinned realize the situation, and now that it's reached, it's hitting home, you're able to see it more clear, I'm sure, right? So, we're going to end this show tonight, Save Your Generation. You can listen Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on ReveraRadio.net. Please check out ReveraRadio.net and give us a little donation to keep this on the air, to keep spreading truth. Also, be sure to check out Phalon.com. That is a sponsor of Revere, Phalon.com, where you can watch great movies like the ones that I've been speaking about tonight. So, hit it up. Enjoy this last clip of Dr. King and some others speaking out against the Vietnam War, which was the beginning. And next week, we're going to continue with the Black History Month lectures, information seminars, the Black History experience, if you will. And we're going to talk about the murder of Malcolm X and how it was Freemason related. Well, you can call it Black Freemason, you can call it Nation of Islam, but it's all the same. It's all connected. That's why Freemasons have created Mormonism and all of these other offshoot religions. They create it to control it. And I think you know that, and that's what we're going to delve into next week. Until then, it has been fun. Save Your Generation, Friday, February 9th edition. Be sure to stay tuned for the shows that are coming up in this Friday night lineup. We got Captain Freedom, Rasta Gnostic Live, and Rob Revere Live. You don't want to miss any of that tonight. And be sure to research all the stuff that we talked about for yourself. Just go watch all the videos and, you know, make up your own mind about what you think has gone on, because the history books have been lying, but there is a whole bunch more footage out there that's telling the truth, that's telling the true story, just like now. You watch TV, you're getting half the story, but you go find these other clips and other video and other things that aren't being shown on TV, and you put the pieces together, you see the real story. You can do that for 9/11, you can do that for JFK, you can do that for all of it, because the truth is in, the proof is in the pudding, and it's in the footage. Video evidence is paramount to the truth. Tantramount, even. But, alright, that's enough for tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Save Your Generation. That's all.
And we're just not concerned about the Vietnam War per se. We are concerned about the survival of black people in this country. And that we cannot survive if we go fight some yellow man in Vietnam who ain't never called us niggers.
I don't have a damn thing to fight for. I ain't got no country. And I don't have no flag. And I ain't got a damn thing to fight if I go up there and get half my ass blown off and come back home and can't even draw unemployment. Let alone find a motherfucking job.
Now, of course, one of the difficulties in speaking out today grows out of the fact that there are those who are seeking to equate dissent with disloyalty. And it's a dark day in our nation when high-level authorities will seek to use every method to silence dissent. Something is happening and people are not going to be silent. The truth must be told. And I say that those who are seeking to make it appear that anyone who opposes the war in Vietnam is a fool or a traitor or an enemy of our soldiers is a person who has taken a stand against the best in our tradition. Many persons have questioned me about the wisdom of my path. Why are you speaking about the war, Dr. King? Why are you joining the voices of dissent? Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. And so this morning I speak to you on this issue, because I am determined to take the gospel seriously. There is at the outset a very obvious and almost facile connection between the war in Vietnam and the struggle I and others have been waging in America. A few years ago, there was a shining moment in that struggle. It seemed as if there was a real promise of hope for the poor, both black and white, through the poverty program. Then came the build-up in Vietnam, and I watched the program broken as if it was some idle political plaything of a society gone mad on war. And I knew that America would never invest the necessary funds or energies in rehabilitation of its poor, so long as adventures like Vietnam continued to draw men and skills and money like some demonic, destructive suction tube. And you may not know it, my friends, but it is estimated that we spend $500,000 to kill each enemy soldier, while we spend only $53 for each person classified as poor. And much of that $53 goes for salaries to people who are not poor. So I was increasingly compelled to see the war as an enemy of the poor and attack it as such. Perhaps the more tragic recognition of reality took place when it became clear to me that the war was doing far more than devastating the hopes of the poor at home. It was sending their sons and their brothers and their husbands to fight and die in extraordinarily high proportions relative to the rest of the population. We were taking the black young men who had been crippled by society and sending them 8,000 miles away to guarantee liberties in Southeast Asia, which they had not found in Southwest Georgia and East Harlem. So we have been repeatedly faced with the cruel irony of watching Negro and white boys on TV screens as they kill and die together for a nation that has been unable to seat them together in the same schoolroom. So we watch them in brutal solidarity burning the huts of a poor village. But we realize that they would hardly live on the same block in Chicago or Atlanta. As I have walked among the desperate, rejected, and angry young men, I have told them that Molotov cocktails and rifles would not solve their problems. But they ask, and rightly so, what about Vietnam? They ask if our own nation wasn't using massive doses of violence to solve its problems. And I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. America and most of its newspapers applauded me in Montgomery, and I stood before thousands of Negroes getting ready to riot when my home was bombed, and said, "We can't do it this way." They applauded us in the sit-in movement. We nonviolently decided to sit in at lunch counters. They applauded us on the freedom rides when we accepted blows without retaliation. Oh, the press was so noble in its applause and so noble in its praise when I was saying, "Be nonviolent toward Bull Connor." There's something strangely inconsistent about a nation and a press that will praise you when you say, "Be nonviolent toward Jim Clark," but will curse and damn you when you say, "Be nonviolent toward little brown Vietnamese children." There's something wrong with that press. Another burden of responsibility was placed upon me. in 1964. And I cannot forget that the Nobel Peace Prize was not just something taking place, but it was a commission to work harder than I had ever worked before for the brotherhood of man. And this is a calling that takes me beyond national allegiances, but even if it were not present, I would yet have to live with the meaning of my commitment to the ministry of Jesus Christ. To me, the relationship of this ministry to the making of peace is so obvious that I sometimes marvel at those who ask me why I am speaking against the war. Could it be that they do not know that the good news was meant for all men, for communists and capitalists, for their children and ours, for black and white, for revolutionary and conservative? Have they forgotten that my ministry is in obedience to the one who loved his enemies so fully that he died for them? What then can I say to the Viet Cong or to Castro or to Mao as a faithful minister to Jesus Christ? Can I threaten them with death? Or must I not share with them my life? There will be no meaningful solution until some attempt is made to know these people and hear their broken cries. And who are we supporting in Vietnam today? It's a man by the name of General Key, who fought with the French against his own people, and who said on one occasion that the greatest hero of his life is Hitler. This is who we are supporting in Vietnam today. Oh, our government and the press generally won't tell us these things, but God told me to tell you this morning. The truth must be told.
Death is better than living on this earth with the unbelievers among us.
He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die.
If you'd like more information on the Savior Generation broadcast, or if you're just sitting with all the lies, visit tiredofbeingalive.com. That's tiredofbeingalive.com.
I'm doomed.